What up, though? It's your boy CB. That is Chill B. And this is the Chill Bravado Podcast, where I bring you a series called Laker 82-16. And that's where we cover the grind of an 82-game long season where it takes 16 wins to get the chip in the end. And as you know, the Lakers' journey has been completed at one of the 16. Yeah, we didn't get 16. So it's not okay, but it's okay. I think the better team won, not by much this time, even though it was a gentleman's sweep, as they call it. But we have a lot more to get into, because now the offseason begins for the Lakers, but the playoffs still go on. And I'm just going to go ahead and just bounce around today and talk about the Cavs and the Celtics. And I'm talking about, you know, the Mavs and OKC, Knicks, Pacers, Denver, T-Wolves, and just kind of give my little, you know, non-expert opinion on these games, what I see and what I kind of predict. Even though I don't do much predicting, and just mess with what I see, and I have fun with it. And we know the Lakers are in head coaching search. Not really a lot to talk about there. We just know the candidates are dwindling down. Jason Kidd gets an extension. Ty Lue probably is going to take an extension with the Clippers unless something crazy happens. Charles Lee, the lead assistant for the Boston Celtics, he is now has the Hornets job. So now you just look down and you do a, you know, pretty wide search. And I don't really want to get into all the candidates just yet. We're still waiting on LeBron and see if he's going to pick up his player option or opt out and sign back or opt out and go somewhere else. D'Angelo Russell, he obviously has the chance to opt in or opt out as well with the player option. Christian Wood has already opted in and exercised his player option. He'll be making like $3 million next year. Which, you know, later on we'll talk about the pros and cons of that. Cam Reddish has a player option. Jackson Hayes has a player option. And the team has to decide on if they're going to, you know, keep Max Christie, who's a restricted free agent. So that's all the Laker kind of stuff going on right now. Really just sitting, you know, kind of figuring out who's the coach going to be. And then we'll see what the players decide. We already have Christian Wood. But still a lot of things got to happen before we even worry about where the season's going the offseason going as far as the Lakers. So that's all I'm going to say about that. We're going to get to the guys who are really playing and, you know, carrying the headlines and the entertainment as far as the NBA playoffs. So after this break, we'll get back to the 82-16 without the Lakers, unfortunately. All right, now let's get into some playoff action. Yeah. Welcome. That's my hype voice for not being in the playoffs. But let's start with the green, mean green. Let's talk about the Boston Celtics. They're up on the Cavs right now. And when I look at this series, the things I think about is like, okay, when this series ends and Boston wins, what is Donovan Mitchell going to do? Is he going to pick up and sign the extension with the Cavs, or is he going to let them know, I do not want to sign the extension? And then this is where we get into the trade talks, which is one of the guys that the Lakers faithful and the experts say that they might have their eye on. So that will be someone we would have to keep our eye on, just because you never know. They might try to go big three model again, and Mitchell would fit that guy who can get a bucket. Don't really know how that helps you as far as defense or how you'll be able to construct a roster around them. But that's always something you got to look at. And he's played well. He definitely willed them to that win over the Orlando Magic in that game 7. I watched it and I was just thinking to myself, Donovan's probably the only guy on this floor right now who has the, you know, playoff level talent to just take over the game. And he pretty much did. And the Magic are young. I feel like they need a point guard. I also feel like they have a lot of guys who can't operate in the half court. So it's just, you know, they definitely have the potential, and they have a star in PB, and it's just fun to watch with the Wagner brothers. They just need a guard. They need a guard who can get them going, get them, you know, initiated, get a buckets, you know, give them an identity as far as in crunch time and in critical moments. But looking at the Boston Celtics and the Cavs, even though Boston don't have Porzingis, this should still be a matchup that they probably should dominate. They should be able to do this easily. I mean, they have enough talent. They have a enough just pure experience to outdo the Cavs. And when I look at the Cavs roster, Jared Allen, he's a guy I look at, and I always picture guys beside AD, and he's a guy I look at and be like, what if you had a guy like that? You know, because Evan Mobley's young, he's going to be there for a while. And then Caris LeVert, I look at guys like that. I'm like, what if you had a guy like that coming off your bench? A guy who just is a bucket. You know, when he gets in, he's going in to score, and it's not going to be a surprise if he gives you 15 to 20 points. Donovan Mitchell as well is intriguing to see, but it's just hard to picture Donovan Mitchell in this because I don't know how he would react playing next to a guy like LeBron, you know, assuming that he comes back. It's just kind of like the Damian Lillard thing where it's kind of like, okay, my turn, your turn. But with LeBron, it's not going to be a my turn, your turn. It's going to be you do it until I want it, and then it's my turn. You know, it just feels like that will be an interesting thing, how that will work. But I feel like that's probably the closest thing we would have to a tier below, you know, version of Kyrie. You know, LeBron has success with Kyrie. Donovan Mitchell, who's a high level scorer, not necessarily Kyrie level, but at the same time, respectfully, he is a guy who can get a bucket. I just don't know. I don't know what that would do with your ball club. I don't know how that moves the needle. But on the other side of this, I mean, Boston should have a cakewalk to the finals. Maybe if, you know, the Knicks are maybe someone who you look at. But then this is time for Tatum, man. This is his time to shine. This is a chance for him to get back to the finals, you know, try to redeem himself. I, for one, have said that if they do not make the finals at the least, this is a complete disaster season. Now, when you get in the finals, anything can happen. So I'm not sitting here saying they have to win the finals to call it a complete success, but you have to win the finals. You know, it's just kind of gotten to the point where you guys can't afford to not win the finals. But in my mind, just me, I personally just want to see them actually make it there. And not really, you know, I really want them to lose this round, but I'm being realistic. I don't think the Cavs have it. Maybe they surprise me and Donovan drops 50, but Donovan Mitchell has never made it out the second round. So I feel like he can definitely take advantage of a first round matchup against an inexperienced team. Don't really see how that works against this team. Darius Garland, who's the guy I look at, and he gets paid quite nicely. And I look at the criticism that D'Lo gets, and I'm like, man, you know what? We actually kind of had D'Lo on a bargain compared to a Darius Garland player who I feel like is still growing in this league and kind of finding his role. But you know how I feel about the small guards, and he's one of them. And we're going to get to another small guard later on in the conversation when we talk about the Knicks. But just moving off of that series, we really don't have much else to talk about. Boston should just handle the business and get on out of there and see if KP Porzingis can get back for the next round, maybe. Who knows? I don't know exactly how long he's going to be out, but they're going to need him moving forward after this round. They should be fine this round. Now, Mavs OKC. OKC is up 1-0, and what I'm really watching is I want to see the Luka-Kyrie duo work, and I want to see how it works against the number one seed OKC team. And I'm just curious because I thought they would have enough size to make this thing, like, you know, they might can have an advantage there. But no, I don't know yet. I don't know. We got to see if Lively and Gafford, I think Max Kleber, I think he's hurt, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know how long or what or what's the timetable on that, but I'm looking to see, do they have the size to take advantage of what OKC normally doesn't have the advantage in? But Chet Holmgren, he had a good game. I don't think he sees anybody that he fears with his skill set, especially when you got, you know, the surprisingly not MVP in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, SGA. They just have a nice mix of guys, and I want to wait and hold off because they're playing at home. And, you know, they're playing kind of home cooking. They had a sweep of the Pelicans. So let's see how it looks as this round, you know, goes a little further. Because I feel like if Dallas can get game two, we'll start to see OKC. And let's see what they can do with just a little bit of adversity. Because 1-1 is not it's nothing that should scare them. But it's enough that we would have to see what type of time they would be on if they were to find themselves in a game where, okay, it's 1-1. And on game three, we have to go to Dallas. And if we go, you know, down 2-1 and we have another game left in Dallas, then it can get problematic and we'll see what this young team will do. But right now, I just feel like we have to wait and see with that series. Not really worried about OKC just yet. I'm not even worried about Kyrie and Luka. I'm kind of observing because there's just not enough data yet. I want to see more. I'm really, you know, curious to see how this works out with Luka and Kyrie. I just feel like they should be able to really push this 6-7 games, and then we'll figure out who will win it. OKC, I'm going to give them some respect for being a one seed. And they should have enough firepower to be able to outscore or keep up with Dallas. And then you just got to figure out how to play some timely defense. And that's what both of these teams really need to look forward to. I'm going to take a break. We're going to come back and we're going to get into the Knicks and the Pacers. And then we'll talk about that Denver and T-Wolves matchup. Oh, I can't wait. All right, welcome back to the Chill Bravado Podcast. I thank you for tuning in and listening. I know it's not Lakers heavy and driven this episode, but we have to give, you know, we got to pay credit and respect to the teams that made it, as well as look at it through a Laker lens. But also, if you want to know all things about sport, go check out the All Things Sports Podcast with my boy JR, my brother. He always breaks it down. We just recently had a couple of episodes where we broke down NFL, NBA talk. I'm looking forward to doing that again. Look forward to seeing all his reactions. I know he has some big plans moving forward. So let's just stay tuned. Make sure you go subscribe and follow and do all those things on the All Things Sports Podcast with your boy, J.R. And let's get right back to it. And we're going to talk about the Knicks and the Pacers. It's two things that drives me crazy about this series as the Knicks hit 2-0. It's that the Pacers, Coach Rick, he is really, really lobbying and trying to play the refs. He's trying to do that. You know, that kind of mind game, and where it's like, we're not getting any calls and we're a small market team. We need opportunity. And honestly, you guys have the Pacers have had leads. They've had points in the game where they've been able to get a lead, but they're not able to sustain it. And it's looking like they're not tough enough when it comes to getting on the boards. It doesn't look like they're engaged enough to fully commit to how they're going to defend Brunson. I know people are saying Tyrese just doesn't look the same ever since the hamstring, but he's playing. And then you got a guy like TJ McConnell, who I feel like he's an engine for you, but you kind of can't play him and Tyrese in the stretch, down the stretch, because you feel like Tyrese has to be the engine. But I feel like TJ has to be on the court in late game situations, just go ahead and suck it up and forget all the, well, these are our guys. No, so you have to adjust. And I just feel like defensively the Pacers are not locked in, or they just not have the personnel to be a team that's going to take defense seriously. And that's kind of been plaguing them most of the season, especially after the injury, you know, to Tyrese. And their running gun stuff is fun and it's good when it's working, but when you get into the half court and you have to lock in and you got to sit down in that chair and play defense and then get yourself back up going the other way to maybe get those transition buckets and set up those threes and all that stuff, it can become a problem. Because the Knicks right now, when I look at them, and you got Josh Hart, who's playing full games, 48 minutes, and you got Brunson playing 40 plus minutes, and you have, you know, OG and all these guys playing all these heavy minutes, and they are really competing. And Coach Tibbs, Thibodeau has really, really been that guy who I thought would adjust his coaching due to Chicago years and the Derrick Rose thing. But I'm literally texting JR right now as we're recording. We're talking like, man, the minutes, it's going to catch up with you. You know, he's talking about Boston next round. I'm like, they got to make it through this one first. OG goes down. Hopefully he'll be able to come and play in game three. Brunson left the game. He came back and, you know, play great down the stretch and being his normal self. Mitchell Robinson's out. That's like 6 to 8 weeks. Julius Randle is already out. I'm just fearful of, like, what are we doing? Like, why are you playing guys so many minutes? It's the second round. If you do this against Boston and just say this series drags out to 6 games, God forbid another, you know, somebody 7 games forbids that. Would you imagine how you would walk into Boston knowing they're probably going to sweep the Cavs, and you walk in there dragging your knees and your legs and the sore foot, and you expect to have any type of chance to go up against these guys who are definitely going to be rested and definitely going to have the advantage in the perimeter and have way better defensive chops for a guy like Brunson. And, you know, my thing, when you have little guards, I have to give props to the way the Knicks built their roster, if they can stay healthy. Brunson's a guy who I consider to be a little guard, and I say they wear down as the playoffs go on. So when you have a guy like that, you have to have a team built big enough, athletic enough, and, you know, and he's going to provide the dog. He's going to provide the energy, and he's going to be the closer and the go-to guy. You just have to make sure he can just focus on that. And you have the OGs and the Josh Harts and DiVincenzo's and all these guys who are going to be able to do the tough, heavy lifting on defense and allows Brunson to focus on what he's good at. And that's being a killer, getting down, getting in the paint, touching the paint, being real shifty. The Pacers have nobody who really wants to guard this guy straight up. And they're not staying square with him. They're letting this guy, who's a great manipulator of angles, do whatever he wants. And that's been a downfall. But I feel like the Knicks are going to burn out. And let's see if they can get this series over quickly, because they're going to need the rest if they think they're going to go into the next round and do this again. I just don't see it happening. And Coach Grick, man, it's okay. If you guys win game three, we'll know the refs showed a little mercy. And now let's get to the real deal, the big time matchup, the funnest matchup so far to all Laker fans and all those who really are tired of hearing about the Joker and Denver. And this is a matchup that surprisingly Denver does not have the advantage of the size. They don't have the size advantage. They don't have the athleticism advantage, because when they went against the Lakers, and the Lakers, you know, had all these leads they'd blown and all these games that were, you know, went down to the wire and they was able to get game winners. Jamal Murray and you know, Jackson and KCP and all these guys, they had no one who could really challenge them on the perimeter the way that Minnesota does. Minnesota have guards who are picking you up, you know, they're pressuring you the whole way down. They're trapping. They're not letting Jamal Murray just do what he want to do. And I know he's banged up or whatever, but I mean, you wasn't that banged up that you couldn't suit up and play and throwing heating pads and all these. See, obviously you're not hurting that bad. You know, you're getting a little fussy, you're getting a little cranky. Oh, I'm sorry. And he was able to, you know, avoid getting suspended, which I'm glad. I don't want him to get suspended. I want him to catch every lick that they give him. And I'm just enjoying watching Minnesota's defense, as well as that we see a budding superstar. Because, you know, me and JR talked, and I'm like, I don't really throw the superstar word out there, but it's a wave of guys now who are finally, you know, incorporating themselves into the conversation. And now, and they're no longer just a part of the conversation. They are a part of this league and this division that we see in these young players. So now you have those up and coming stars who are now having the opportunity to become into superstars. And Anthony Edwards is definitely one of those cats. Joker, who is obviously one of those guys who are going to be around for a long time, but obviously you see him struggling because you have Rudy Gobert, who did not play in game two. You have him, Cat, who's impressively showing up and showing that he has size. Nas Reed, Kyle Anderson, they throwing all these guys at the champ, at the MVP. He finally wins another one. Hurrah, hurrah. You know, it's all good. I don't really don't care who won it. SGA could have won it for the first time in the cool, but it is what it is. But watching him struggle and watching him be sped up, this is something that we were able to do as the Lakers in 2020, when we had Dwight and JaVale and we had AD and we had all these big bodies, and Kyle Kuzma, who was on the, you know, able to be big. And then you look at how Minnesota's built, and Finch, who is the coach of the Minnesota, when he was when AD was talking about how Finch built that too big model in New Orleans, he was behind that with him and Boogie Cousins and all these guys. And he was talking about, you know, and Drew and Rondo. He was talking about how that team was built on the two big model, and it was working great until Boogie got hurt that year. And then you go fast forward to 2020, when we had our bigs, who I just named, and we gave him the most fits, him being Joker. And now we're seeing it again, but with, you know, this is really kind of how the 2020 team was built. When you got Gobert, you got Nas Reed, and you got Cat, that's kind of like you said, AD, JaVale, Dwight. And then when you got McDaniels, and you got Alexander Walker, and you got Ant Edwards. That's kind of how you had Caruso, and you had KCP with the Lakers, and you had LeBron, and then you had Kyle Kuzma, and even Avery Bradley before he left the, you know, didn't come to the bubble. You had these ball pressure guys, and then you had these bigs, and you were just really making it tough. So when you watch Joker getting sped up and throwing the ball and turnovers, and Aaron Gordon does no longer has the complete size advantage. He's still athletic, but when you have a guy like Cat, Nas, and Gobert, you know, protecting the rim and stopping and shutting the water off of that little flick of a lob play that's not getting over and over again. Gordon scored well in the first game, or was it the second game, where he had a couple threes? And if he's going to score threes, all right, great. You're not going to shoot many of them. You can have three of them. You can get 13 points in the first quarter. That's fine. We'll take that if I'm the Minnesota. But you're not going to be getting the backdoor cuts, and you're not going to be getting all those things. Michael Porter Jr. obviously cannot shoot unless he's playing against the Lakers. Same as Jamal Murray. He's not able to get to his spots. He's getting frustrated because he's not able to bounce and bop off guys like he wants to. KCP's not big enough to guard Ant-Man, and it's great to watch. I love it. Mike Conley is just the constant professional and the smallest guy on their team. So there you go. You have Minnesota up 2-0, and we're looking at a changing of the guard around here, okay? You got pouting Murray. You got Malone, grumpy old man. He should have been teched up, maybe even kicked out. But I want both of them to be there on Friday when they go against Minnesota, because it's just a fun joy to watch. When you see a team who doesn't no longer has the size advantage, they don't have the athletic advantage against Minnesota, and you're able to see it. So right now, I want to see what the champs do. I feel like they're going to come out in game three, and they're going to swing, and they're going to swing big. And I think they're going to find a way to get their first lead going in the halftime. And then we're going to see what Ant-Man and what these guys can do. And I just want to speak on people who would, you know, talking about Cat. And I don't care about him being, he's not a number one option. Who cares? Who cares? If you have a guy like Ant who is a go-to guy, I don't need Cat to be a number one option. I don't care about that. If you can't carry your team, who can carry a team by themselves? You know, like, look right now. You think Joker cares? Oh, I'm the number one option. No, right now he wants to figure out how we can win. And I feel like this team in Minnesota have figured out how to win, and they know what they need to do. And Cat came out in the first game, had a great third quarter, because, you know, the first half of that first game, nobody was scoring with Ant, but Ant-Man. And then in the second game, you could just see it. Nas Reed couldn't miss. That was, you know, that was great to see, because he never missed against the Lakers either. You know, you got Mike Conley hitting threes. You got the defense. You got, man, when you look and see, you see Alexander Walker smiling while he's guarding Murray. Then you see Jay McDaniel sliding over. It's a joy to watch, but I feel like the fouls are going to kind of pick up. I've been noticing there's a lot of ticky-tacks, and if they can't trap and press, we're going to see in game three if that kind of plays a part. But I've talked enough. I can't wait to see all these things in moving forward. I am very, very, very excited, and I'm ready for it. These matchups, especially Friday. That's all I have. Lakers, let's go, man. We just watching, waiting on a coach. JJ Redick's been throwing around. We'll talk about that later. Hopefully, we'll have some good news in here. LeBron's going to sign back and whatever. If you're a LeBron, back to the Lakers type of guy or gal. You know, if not, hey, we'll just figure it out and we'll talk about it later. Until next time, this is your boy CB. That's Chill B, the Chill Bravado Podcast. Oh yeah, Laker 82-16. See you next time.